Morning, everybody. Let's see here. Let's go to Romans for a sec. Well, I just want to hit a point once again. Probably the same point I usually hit all the time. And let's just start reading Romans 4. It says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." And I just want to stop right there, because that's where the battle's at. Is believing God, no matter what the situation comes about us in. I mean, Abraham wasn't... The only way that Abraham was justified was by believing God. That was it. That was it. And the same goes with us. I mean, we've been talking about, on Tuesdays nights, we've been going through Exodus and the children of Israel. And how the children of Israel doubted God at every turn, yet His loving kindness and His mercy upon them, He would yet extended to them grace and gave them what they needed. Yet over and over again, no matter how, there was many times where they went against the Lord, doubting the promise of the Lord. They doubted His word, they doubted His provision, even after yet He showed up many, many, many times. And it talks about in Hebrews for us to beware to not fall in the same example of unbelief in that. And that's what it boils down to. Now also I want to go to, I'm going to stop real quick. I was talking with Steve this morning. Tell you, I needed to talk to Steve. I talked to Steve this morning. And it was one of those things where he just brought back in remembrance. Those things where the Lord had delivered me yet again and again and again. And I'm going, yeah, but Steve, I'm a jerk here. I'm in fault. I'm in error. And Steve goes, oh. And this wasn't exact words. This is kind of my spin on it. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Lord only delivered you when you weren't a jerk and you were doing everything right. That's when the Lord delivered you. I said, well, no. He said, that's right. That's right. I mean, it boils down to, the Lord is so good to us. If we would just stop and turn and believe at His word. I tell you right now, me and myself, the reason why I called Steve was because I was in that situation. I'm going, oh my goodness, where I'm having my doubts. I'm having my struggles. I'm having my frustration. And I'm calling Steve for help. I'm calling in the artillery. I'm here on the battle with my little pea shooter. And I'm going, all right, Steve, I need a freaking... bomb, some bombs dropped right here, man. Please pray with me. Because I'm losing this one. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. Here comes the airstrike. Oh, wow, thank you. I forgot. It was by the blood of Jesus Christ that I may enter into His rest. It was by the blood of Jesus Christ that my sins were cleansed and washed away. It was by the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm here standing this day. It was by the blood of Jesus Christ that through all those trials and tribulations and situations that came about into my face, the Lord yet delivered me. Because He's good. And it was nothing that I could boast of. Not a single thing that I can boast on. It was all because the Lord was good to me and I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything right to deserve that. But yet He was good to me once again. It's a marvelous thing. It's actually beautiful. Amazing grace, how sweet that sound. We sing that song, Amazing Love. It is amazing. Here's God who created the universe. Created us. He's our King, but He's the one that came and laid down His life for us. What's amazing to me is I'm a puke worm out of somebody's gut. Nasty and vile. Have nothing to offer. And yet the Lord showed mercy and kindness and died for me at that state. The only one without sin loved me enough to die for me then. And not only that, I mean, it wasn't like, okay, I died for you. Your sins are forgiven. Now go about your way now. Have fun, it's washed away. After that, you're on your own. No. It wasn't like that at all. Phil, I'm going to show you how much I love you. Watch this. Phil, I'm going to show you how much I love you. Watch this. Phil, I'm going to show you how much I love you. Watch this. And yet, deliverance at every turn. Deliverance, 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 deliverance. The Lord's good. Amen. And as I look in Exodus, and I can sit back and go, man, Lord, you know, you showed... Tell you what, man, how'd you put up with those children of Israel? I mean, man, you did this for them, you did that for them, you did this. I mean, oh my goodness, Lord. Oh, it don't take me but real quick for the reminders of, you ain't no dang different. You ain't no dang different. But I want to show you something, guys. One of the things is, we talk about in James, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, we count it all joy when we fall is because we go back and we apply that the blood of Jesus upon it again. And we go back and we look to whom is our Savior and our King and our Lord. And we go back and we put our faith in that. What He has done and what He is going to do. Davey was up there talking about pointing out some folks in the conference. And so, you know, Steve's face follows and Paul's face follows. And he's listing off the ordained ministers. You know what follows in their faith? You know why he was saying that? Because the people were putting their faith in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing else. I mean, don't get me wrong. They flawed in putting their faith in other things out, but that's getting worked out. But that's where they put their faith and their focus on. That's why they were examples. Let's not forget what it's about. It's not from our good works, or that we're right, or that we're good, or that we have anything to offer. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done and putting in our faith in what He can do. That's one loving God. I'm glad He is God and no one else. Merciful. It truly is amazing grace. And it truly is amazing love. With that, I'm done.
Good morning, everybody. We do have a tendency to stray with our faith at times. But you know, the place that's the easiest to stray to is the idea that I'm accepted. And we'll come here on Sunday and worship the Lord, or Thursday night and worship the Lord, and you know, receive testimony of His mercy and our need, because of our unworthiness. And then we walk out of the door and we forget where we came from. And our default position becomes really pleased with ourselves. And we start relating to people on that level, and we start again making judgments that are just totally unrighteous. And our treatment of others is like we're better than them. And I can say that because I do it. I find myself doing it all the time. I'm wrong. I'm in error. I have to repent. This Jesus Christ, so I'm not worthy to do this. Ding, 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 ding. That's right. And, you know, Philip's going through is just having to shake off this old man every morning and commit every morning to accepting that he's not worthy and Jesus is. Jesus makes him worthy. Jesus' love was commended to us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. While we were His enemy, He died for us. Me, who with Paul can say, that I am a sinner, a chief amongst sinners. I know me. And I can agree with Paul. Not that he is, but that I am. That's why His mercy is new every day. We need it. But then you can shake all that stuff off. And I was sitting there talking a little bit this morning with Phil about it. And then, you know, we sang the song. But I'm going to read some of what we sang. Because the knowledge of what we need is right here. All you got to do is agree with that knowledge. For some reason, it's still a shocking thing. Every time somebody reminds us that, oh, so Jesus, you know, Jesus showed up for you when you were doing things right. How often does that happen? Jesus showed up for the apostles because they needed Him to. And it was part of His provision for them that He met them in their situations and their needs. And it was His power they were demonstrating. It was His authority they carried. It was His word and testimony they were bringing to the people. It wasn't because they're great people or even pleasant to be around necessarily. It's because that's what He does, and we're not worthy. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. We'll start in verse 1. And I did an absolutely horrendous job of quoting this when I was talking to Philip, but I'm kind of used to that. I suppose he is too. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Always somebody's wanting to challenge Paul's rightness and acceptability before God to carry the authority and the power that the Lord had given him. And he's just doing what the Lord has him to do. But this is the passage starting in verse 3. And it connects in the first 2. Flows. 4. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We cheat. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How soon, I mean, it probably needs to be said that first off, every believer has this ability. It's not just Paul's. Because we are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. It's for the captivity of our souls and our minds and to derail us from following after the Lord. We're in a warfare of intercession for others who may be going through times of struggle. You may see us walking around here, but I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, I cheat. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. And they pull down strongholds that the enemy has built up. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're surrounded. We got a world here that is surrounding us with things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God and try to just constrict your mind, hold it, hold its attention, shiny things all over the place. Is there any surprise that we wake up in the morning and we're going, oh God, I don't know if I'm going to make it, Lord. I'm so screwed up. I don't know. I don't even know that I can do this anymore, Lord. These people, they keep coming to me for counsel. I am just as worthless as it gets. I don't have any business doing this, Lord. Yeah, you're right. Now shake all that stuff off and come do your job. Same thing with Philip. I'm in error every time I turn around. There doesn't seem to be any way to do anything right. It'll work. It just doesn't seem like there's any way to please the customers or please my bosses. It just seems like I'm a complete failure every time I turn around. It's all right, Philip. I still love you. My grace is still upon you. Trust me, Lord. Trust me, Philip. I'm the Lord. You can trust me. I'm good, and I'll meet your needs. I'll manifest myself and show that you're different. Just trust me. That's all he says. Casting down. Verse 5. Imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is where the war is. Because our thoughts are screwed up when we wake up in the morning. They've been on everything beside the Lord you can think of. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That means they're just thoughts that you do not receive. You stop it cold. Cast it off. That's not going to prosper me in obedience to Jesus Christ. I won't receive it. You have to lasso it and throw it away. Throw it away. Me doing the Western thing. That was really funny. I enjoyed it anyway. You know, and all this is a process. Because this is a great package here, but you have to remember how Paul is walking. Paul is walking in the authority the Lord gave him. He's operating this. He's telling you, this is the way the operation is. You can partake of it. This casting down, holding into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's how you win. And it's what it takes. It's a commitment. This is my mind. And because I'm in Jesus Christ, we are one mind. And we're not letting this in. I rebuke that. I cast it off. I'm going to hold this mind into captivity towards the obedience of Jesus Christ. This scary thought in my mind scares me. But it is, because I know what's been in there. When you learn how to do all this, and you're walking under authority and in authority, and especially in Paul's case, because he is, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled and you have operated in this and you cast down these vain imaginations and you are able to hold in captivity everything that would exalt itself against Jesus Christ, holding every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You can actually walk in the power and anointing of the Lord. And then watch the Lord move. And he holds people who are in disobedience to account. And brings them to light. When you can walk in this in obedience, you can be a minister to bring people to the light and hold their disobedience unto account. Well, gee, that's what we do anyway. Yeah, but if you're not doing it, if you're trying to do it carnally, you can wake up every morning going, oh, but you're never going to get past that. It's a spiritual warfare, and if you are fighting it with carnal tools, you're not even in the fight. And that's our default position, is to immediately start thinking about things that how we, in the natural, what we've done in the past to get this stuff done. You're supposed to be learning how to do this because you're connected again with Jesus Christ and His Holy Ghost and His mind. And you have ministers who can minister this grace and mercy and His ways to you if you can receive it. And receive how good He is. He doesn't deliver to me because I'm good. He delivers to me because He's good. And the people that are listening to me, He loves them. It's not because I have a tendency to be right. It's actually the opposite. But I know I don't know what I'm doing. And I know He does. And I trust Him. I know how much He had to love me. I know how much He had to love Philip. I can look around the room. I can tell you how much He had to love. And I can tell you how much He does love. How He's met us over and over again. Like we were talking about last week. When we start thinking about, you know, yeah, we've arrived. We've got something better going on. Those Israelites did. Boy, they were really stupid. Wait a minute. I'm just like them. It's like Philip said. Wait a minute. I'm just like them. They had His... They had His power, His presence, and His provision. And they still judged Him as being unrighteous. They still murmured, why have you brought us out here in the desert to die? I find myself thinking those same kind of thoughts frequently. The question is what I'm going to do about them. I'm not going to receive them. I'm not going to entertain them. I know better. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Trust me, from there everything's up. Because we have so great a Savior. Last verse of 2 of Hebrews 4. Who has been touched by the same sort of infirmities, the same sort of temptations, the same struggles that we have gone through. But He did it perfectly. But He has compassion. He loves us. receive His love. Receive His forgiveness. Receive His power. Be not just a forgetful hearer, but a doer of His word. Believe Him. Believe Him.